This is an RTRFM podcast. RTRFM is a community organisation and relies on volunteer and listener support. To learn more about what we do, visit rtrfm.com.au.
This podcast was produced and recorded on Whadjuk Noongar Boodja. We pay our respects to elders past and present. This land was never ceded.
All over it.
Hello, I'm Alicia.
And I'm Pam.
And we're all over it, so you don't have to be. The news, that is.
This is your weekly explainer covering the important local, national and international headlines and what they mean for you. Yes, you. If you're listening to this, you might be an RTRFM listener. Maybe you're a Borloo or Perth local.
You might be my mum with her friends.
News can feel far-reaching, but we're going to explain what you need to know and why it matters.
On this episode, we are talking the US election and what it has to do with us.
But before we get into that, Alicia, what's your wormhole of the week?
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun,
dun. I'm going to start off with a question, if that's okay.
Oh, you're such a nerd.
I know. Pam, who's your favourite bushranger?
What?
Yeah. Just name one. Can you give me one or two?
Look, I don't want to say the one that, you know the one I'm thinking of. It's the only one that I can think of.
Yeah.
I don't want to say it.
Okay, but.
Do you want to say it?
Is it, okay, I'll have an educated guess.
Yeah.
Would it be a Kelly?
Yeah, it would be a
Ned
Kelly. Yeah, it would be Ned.
Sick, yes. Yeah. So my wormhole of the week was starting off listening to, because I realised that we've got some sick bushrangers over here in WA, Moondyne Joe, RIP the Moondyne Joe pub in Freo.
Yeah.
But also just like, he was quite iconic over here. He was doing a lot.
So what did he do?
He was kind of like a bit of an escape artist situation. What he actually did to get out here was like steal things. Like a cost of living king, really. Like I was listening to it. I was listening to these people talk about how they couldn't afford stuff and he's like, they're stealing bread and cheese and like milk for their children. And I'm like, ooh, yeah, I get the hard labor thing. What?
Yeah.
Relatable content.
Yeah, relatable.
Not that we're stealing, but.
No advocating for stealing here, but like, look,
times
get
tough,
it. Get
people
it.
Are going out
we
to get food, right?
We understand.
So then I was like, that's really interesting. He was quite iconic. Who else was doing it? Like, who else had tough times in the 17, 1800s? I'm sure it sounded like a really lovely time for. Like literally no one. And that's when I stumbled upon this really amazing book and podcast by Meg Foster, who looks at like underrepresentation of bushrangers in Australian history. She's talking about people that are just like not Ned Kelly, which is, I know, there's others.
What?
Right? But there's been this really interesting kind of historical erasure of people of colour, minorities, LGBTQIA+, women, like all of these really incredible stories just weren't really written into the history books. So there's these historians that are going back and kind of getting stuck in. And I think when I was hearing about one of the first recorded bushrangers that we have, that was an African American man named Black Caesar.
Oh.
Heard of him?
Nah.
Me either. Then I was listening about this really incredible Indigenous woman from New South Wales and her story, which had been recorded because her husband of like 5 years, he was a bushranger, so everyone was like, oh, look at her, she's swimming through shark-infested waters for him. Wrong.
What?
She was the brains of the operation.
She was the brains, of course she was.
She was teaching him how to read and write.
Yeah,
she was having 15 kids.
Wow.
She was like nursing. She outlived him by 37 years.
Is this what we're talking about on the podcast today? Are we talking about rangers?
No, but we are talking about identity, national identity, I guess.
Okay, well, we'll put in the show notes this the connections for this wormhole of the week.
Oh, my God, we'll go on forever. Get into it.
Yeah, so I know. I know that you could go on forever, so I'm going to put the podcast in the show notes and where people can find out a little bit more about Australia's bush rangers. Pretty gorgeous, but let's get into the headlines.
Yes.
The world is in a super election year. This is what it means for Australia. That's a headline from the SBS. From the SBS? From that's a headline.
Mr. SBS.
SBS.
Let's go.
Yeah. All right. Talk to me about this story.
Super election year. What does that mean? It means it's the most elections that we've had globally ever. Everyone's having an election and it all means stuff. Ours aren't till next year, so we kind of miss out on the super election year vibe, but
I still feel like it's part of the same conversation.
Yeah. Globally, there have been many significant elections this year, but Australians, we bloody love a US election. Those guys know how to put on a show.
They do. They're kind of like car crashes. You can't help but watch a US election. I think that's especially true this year with the contest between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump. It does feel like a sport that you're watching and or almost reality TV at some points.
Yeah, big time. Elections really are in the air at the moment. Here at home, politicians are making promises ahead of our 2025 WA state election set in March, closely followed by the federal election expected in May 2025.
Even though we're expected to head to the polls soon, I think it's safe to say the US election has really captured our imaginations here in Australia.
Yeah, not only because they have Little John like rapping about the place, which we haven't really managed to kind of embody yet.
Imagine if we had some rappers get up in Parliament House.
Come on. People would pay attention, don't you reckon?
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But beyond the Little John of it all, the elections really do impact us here down under. Our economy, our military, our environmental agenda, even kind of the fabric of democracy itself. Pam, to kick us off here, please let me into your brain and TikTok algorithm. What US election stuff? Yes. What have you seen?
I don't know if you want to go in here. I mean, I've been seeing a lot of content from the Democratic National Convention. Now, Kamala Harris had secured her spot prior to this, but it honestly seemed just like it almost needed a red carpet. It seemed like there were celebrities going off all over the place. There was that roll call bit, which is
sick. Traditionally
quite a dry segment, part of the evening, but they made it really interesting at the Democratic National Convention. There was celebrities, there was these songs attached to each state calling out their votes, and I did see a comparison TikTok of the ones that what was happening at the Republican convention, and it was dry and sad, and there were a lot of seats empty. Now, I don't want to be taken for defamation here. Spotto for previous podcasts. If you know that definition, phone in. We don't have a phone. But something, I'm not going to take a lot of time to explain the roll call bit now, but everyone from Stevie Wonder to Pink to AOC, one of my favourite politicians in the US. I've seen a lot from Jack Schlossberg. Now, yes. I might have got that name a little bit wrong, but he's the Vogue political reporter. He's also the grandson of former US Prez JFK. Kamala has been talking about owning a gun with Oprah. That seemed like a slip-up, but I don't know if it was planned.
She's been talking about guns quite a bit.
Oh, and Trump has been mouthing off and spewing about misinformation, it seems, as usual. So that's kind of my insight into what's going on with the US election. I'm reading a lot of explainers. I'm getting kind of overwhelmed with what their priorities are, and I'm not really sure what's true and what's not, and like what it has to do with us here in Australia.
Yeah, big time. I think there's so much to cover, like there and then beyond. And over the next few weeks, we'll probably make our way through it as we have this lead up to the election. But today we're going to focus on what the US election means for us in Australia. So I feel like I've had the conversation with so many people of, it kind of feels like a fun reality TV show going on from afar. And they're like, oh, I think I'd vote for Trump because like, fun.
Oh God.
And then I am very politely like, do you know what that might mean? Like, do you know the implications here? And they're like, why?
No.
But there are implications here.
Of course there is. And you're going to tell us all about them. We're going to explain what's going on. Where should we start? What should we know before we start?
Yeah, so just to give you an idea of how significant the US elections are down under, Sydney's United States Studies Centre found in 2016 that Australians were looking for election results for the US election at twice the rate that they did for our own elections on Google.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. So the 2024 election will be held on Tuesday, November 5th, and the winner will serve a term of 4 years in the White House starting in January 2025. This process is very different to how it goes down here in Australia, though. So there's a few things that's kind of worth us knowing and being across so we can see some key differences. Firstly, and I think this is kind of the big one that I always say to people, is like, unlike Australia, Americans don't have to vote. So why does that even matter? It means that their strategies are pretty different. The goal of US candidates is to convince people that they need to get to the booths. So what they're trying to do is get people more engaged and more invested than we see here in Australia. It's worth kind of mentioning that for our election in 2022, there was all these articles saying, this is the worst turnout Australia's ever had. This is really grim. And that was, our voter turnout was 90%. In the 2020 election that the US had, they had their highest voter turnout ever. That was 66%.
Whoa.
Right? So some different strategies going on here. It's kind of assumed that Australians are going to vote, whereas it's not assumed for the US. So the whole vibe of the debates that we're seeing and the strategies that we're seeing from Trump and Kamala are about how do I get people to come out and vote for me? It's pretty evocative. It's also pretty worth mentioning there's different party systems. The two main parties in the US nominate a presidential candidate by holding a series of votes called state primaries and caucuses, where people choose who they want to lead the party in like a general direction. This year in the Republican Party, former President Donald Trump won his party's unanimous support, marking the third time he'll be running for president. For the Democrats, Vice President Kamala Harris.
What about their power? What kind of power do they have, and how does that affect their democracies?
Yeah, so there's an interesting kind of distinction between what we have, which is like the prime ministerial kind of monarchical system, and the US, which is a presidential system. The US president, because of the way they're elected and because of the powers they have quite a lot of power. They can veto legislation. They can command armed forces, so they can like enter into wars and stuff like that. They can convene or adjourn Congress, and they can nominate the members of powerful institutions, like we've seen with the Supreme Court or the Federal Reserve. It's pretty wild, and it's a big kind of position of power to hold. That doesn't just affect America, though, because the US is what we call a superpower, the big daddy of powers.
Yeah.
In Australia, we're like a little middle power.
Okay.
A superpower means they are the world's most dominant economic and military power.
Right.
It doesn't even come close. Like, you can add up the 49 economy military expenditures below the US, and it still doesn't even equal the US.
Wow, okay.
They've got money. They've got resources.
Yeah.
And they also kind of are quite culturally impactful.
Yeah, we know this.
Yeah, how many Americans can tell you what's going on in the Australian election?
Yeah, right? Famously, Americans not sure what's going on in the rest of the world, but we all know what's going on with them.
We're
talking about it on a podcast here in Baldoo.
Big time.
So a perfect example of the kind of effect they have and the sort of, you know, sway they have.
Yeah, culturally. And so the leader of this kind of superpower has a lot of influence globally, and particularly on democracies like ours. We often compare ourselves to the US in a kind of a smaller scale, and definitely there's a flow-on impact to us as well when they make the decisions they make.
Yeah, right.
Most alarmingly, I guess, of the differences is that for such an important superpower, they don't even have democracy sausages.
They don't have democracy sausages?
No wonder people aren't voting.
Well, that's the way to get them out there to vote. Mm. Now, what's the vibe of the election so far? Where are we at? We've seen it it's all over the news cycle.
Yeah, I think in a word, like hectic.
Yeah, I'd say hectic.
Yeah.
It's giving circus.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's giving circus. Danny's laughing at me, but it's giving circus.
It is. Sorry, I got distracted because I'm aware that I look like a circus tent today.
For the listener, Alicia is wearing a striped shirt. And not only is it striped in like a casual way, it actually is striped in the exact way that you would find not only a popcorn bucket, but a circus tent.
Yeah, and kind of similar colours as well.
Yeah, so. It's brown and baby pink.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, giving girly pop circus.
It's method acting, I guess. All right. Current President Joe Biden, who was originally running for the Democrats, called it quits after his first debate with Trump. It was a pretty tough watch. Did you see any of the stuff that came out of
that? Yeah, of course.
I think also seeing him call President Zelensky when he was getting up on the stage Putin to his face was like, the man looked so shocked, like he was looking for Putin in the room. So there was a lot of concerns there about whether he was like fit to run and how that would work. And I think maybe justifiably.
Yeah, it seemed like he was having some troubles for sure.
Yeah.
What's going on then?
So that happens. Then he steps down and former Vice President Kamala Harris stepped up to take his place.
Yeah.
And I feel like there was like a collective sigh of relief there.
Yeah.
From people, but also from like kind of security experts and stuff as well.
Yeah.
On the other side, we've had two assassination attempts on Donald Trump's life.
Yeah.
I think also every time I watch this happen, I'm like, where was the security team?
Anyway, we're going off on a bit of a tangent there. But he's had two assassination attempts on his life, which is pretty bizarre and pretty alarming. And the highlights of this, this kind of highlights the really drastic way, the hectic nature of the US like politics sort of space and how those stories are unfolding.
I think they're escalating and motivating people. Like
exactly.
They want people out to motivate, but some people are so motivated that it's like political violence.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot on the line for them here that they're quite concerned about.
Yeah. So we had the shootings, but then we had the first debate between Trump and Kamala. Can you talk to me a little bit about what happened there. Let's get across it, because there was a lot going on. All I saw was they were eating dogs and executing babies. I don't know who won. Kamala Harris wants you to know she's got a gun and has big crowd sizes. What does that mean? I don't understand.
Yeah. Okay. So I think what I'm going to do here is tell you a little bit about their general vibe. Like, I'm not going to give you a rundown because there's a million of them everywhere. And also, it was so long. Like, who wants to hear that much?
How long was it? It was like 4 hours or something.
Yeah, I think I watched on and off for like three hours.
Ow. Okay. Give me the big takeaways. Yeah. Right. Let's start with Harris.
So the coverage of Harris was pretty favourable. Her big push going in was to show the US voters who she was, separate herself from Biden, and dodge her weak spots by baiting Trump into saying weird stuff. It gave like sibling energy of, you know, when you don't want your like sibling to like tell on you and you just start goading them into like, no? Okay. Maybe that's reflection on me.
No, I don't know if I know what you mean.
Oh, right. So they're going to have strategic advisors on anything they're saying, we want you to make sure you talk on certain points and make sure you distract from other points.
Okay.
And something where people are pretty sus on Kamala and Biden is they're sus on whether they know how to talk about the economy and migration. That's
right.
Where Trump's really strong.
Right.
So in those conversations, just before he was asked a question, she would say something to throw him off. So she was like, he spoke about migration, she was like, by the way, you guys should go to his rallies. They're so boring. They're so boring. Everyone leaves his rallies. They're so boring.
She said that?
Yeah. She was just like, go, please go, and you'll be so bored. And this is just before he's in a position to say something really strong. But he was so like upset by that.
Yeah.
So he goes on this long rant about how everyone loves him, and he misses the opportunity to actually go in on the area that he's the strongest.
Look, that's really funny and probably tactical brilliance, speculating.
Is.
But I do think that's really interesting that that's a tactic that was used. And yes, you're right. It does give sibling.
Yeah, but I think that that's what's worth us knowing when we're watching the debates play out and being like, what are they doing over there? What they're doing is trying to get the undecided voters.
Yeah.
And so they're looking at all the analytics of, these are the people that vote for you, these are the people that don't. So the kind of big points, the policy points that Kamala kind of hit on was abortions and women's bodily autonomy. Women vote for her twice the rate that they vote for Donald Trump. So valid that you would go there. And she was kind of swaying away from the economy. People are worried that she won't support their gun ownership, so she doubled down on that. So what she was really trying to do was kind of stabilise voters that might not be into her just yet.
Yeah, get those fence sitters over on her side.
Big time.
Right, I getcha.
And so how was Trump doing it?
Yes, I want to know what the big takeaways were from Trump.
Yeah, so he was making some pretty big claims. you know, love that for him. Unfortunately, who didn't love that was that they did have fact checkers this time, which was pretty exciting to see.
This was some stuff that did appear on my TikTok FYP.
Yeah, even the word fake news didn't come around until the 2016 election when Trump came through. So there's a real big push to kind of nip the disinformation in the bud before they even get there. So he made some pretty big claims. He was trying to work on the kind of analytics that they had as well. So a lot of people are concerned that Kamala Harris might be too close to Biden and like a communist. So those were kind of the ways that he went. He was painting her as like a radical liberal. He was saying that she was Biden. She had to clarify a few times that she actually wasn't Biden, like in a skin suit or something. I don't know. And he was just trying to push her on, like, you don't know anything about the economy. So he spoke quite a bit about the economy. He said that she wants to defund the police, confiscate guns and ban fracking.
So other than talking about her, what did he say?
Oh, my gosh, he brought up her dad.
What?
Yeah.
In Which, what way?
A bit passe, like a your mama joke in there. But, yeah, he brought up her dad. He claimed that her dad had influenced her with Marxist ideology.
Right. Interesting.
To be fair, her dad is, like, a really kind of groundbreaking economics professor, and he does look at critical, he's quite critical of economic structures, and that does, like, he has contributed to Marxist literature. But if you are assuming that everyone votes the same way as their dad, maybe reconsider. Unless you're my dad listening to this, in which case, love you, do everything you say.
So he really just started to unpack all of her things.
Yeah, he was trying to discredit her. He was trying to discredit her on the areas that he knew that people were a bit sus about her on, which is migration, hence the eating dogs, which was totally...
Misinformation.
And JD Vance even came out and was like, yeah, that was me, lol, that wasn't true.
JD Vance is the running mate of Donald Trump. Yeah. So, okay, something interesting that I did see that came into my For You page was the 10th month business with the abortions. Donald Trump coming in and saying that Kamala Harris was advocating for, or that the Democrats were in support of abortions in the 10th month.
Yes.
Now, if you missed Human Bio, that would be an abortion post-birth for most people.
When that was pointed out, he was like, they're executing the babies.
Yeah. Executing babies, straight up illegal, babe.
Yeah.
That's not an abortion. That's killing a baby.
Yeah.
And that was honestly bizarre that he had to be called out on that. And that was the kind of, that's an example of some of the claims that were being made, right? Mm. And actual fact checkers whose job is to fact check the claims made in this election were spending their time having to call out things like this.
Mm. But you know those people that say, like, never let the truth get in the way of a good story? Like, I think even if you can be fact-checked and it can say, yeah, that wasn't true, the general vibe of, like, these people are evil, that's what he was trying to get across here.
Yeah.
He just was kind of taking some creative liberties. It's a bit of a GST on that one.
Yeah, creative liberties.
Just chucked an extra month on there.
Yeah, it's a little bit interesting and it's a little bit bizarre for sure. It's definitely been kind of confusing to see all of this pop up on my For You page, on my on my news pages, on the news pages that I follow here in Australia. News podcasts I listen to have all had an episode on it. We're doing an episode on it.
Mm-hmm.
Which means it's got to have something to do with us, right? What does it have to do with us over here? Does it have anything to do with us?
It has so much to do with us. And I'm going to try and get it to you in 4 points because that's what I've been told I can do.
Yeah, look, we've given you the 4-point instruction and I know that's a hard task, but I need, but we,
I also
we
like
believe in you.
You said 4 bullet points and it was like 4 paragraphs.
You've got it, babe.
Yeah, never met a word count I can't triple. All right, so now remember back to maybe 5 to 10 minutes ago when I told you about that big superpower thing. The US was a superpower.
Right.
Well, that's kind of the big way that it really is going to affect us, because the influence that the US has when they make their policies and decisions kind of filters down and trickles down to us over here in a little middle power sense. I'm going to start with everyone in my year 10 politics and law's favourite conversation, the economy.
The economy.
Do you love the economy?
I love money.
Ooh, true. I love money when it benefits me.
Yeah, no, talk to me about the economy.
Yeah, so this, look, the economy is a big one to understand, so I'm going to really be quite a leisure about it and just say that there's quite a few concerns here, dolls. A key part of Trump's economic plan proposed during the debate is a pledge to raise tariffs up to 20% on most goods entering the US and between 60 to 100% on goods coming from China. But tariff is when they put like a tax in.
Okay.
It's coming in, so they're going to make it more expensive for
gotcha.
Any outside stuff coming in. We're in WA, so probably we are across the fact that exports are kind of what support our economy.
Mm.
To the point that like Victoria had to buy in gas. They're not even getting it from us. We're sending out so much gas over here to other places. Like exports is our whole market.
Yeah,
kind of situation.
Right.
So the tariffs would definitely affect us in quite a big way. Raised tariffs are expected to impact us by raising shipping and freight costs, so making things a lot more expensive. It's a bit of an ouch. Strengthening the US dollar, which sounds good, but for us, we like the economy, most countries in the economy have to use the US dollar
sure.
to sell each other stuff, right?
Okay.
So when the US dollar is really strong, it actually kind of weakens our selling power. So people won't want to trade with us quite as much, which might affect who's buying our exports.
Yeah.
That affects us economically quite a lot.
Right. Bad.
Yeah, boo. Donald Trump also knew that and he was like, I don't care if you try and exit out, I'll put 100% tax on whoever you are. So he's pretty focused on what's going on for him right now.
Sounds like it's just stressing everyone out, making it completely not a good time for anyone.
Well, that's the other thing is like when you have someone that can be quite unpredictable, it kind of stresses out the market.
Right.
So if you're an investor right now, a lot of investors are talking about pulling things out, moving things in preparation for if Donald Trump comes in and that affects them. And the more people pull things out and move things, the more we see the economy kind of jump around. Like imagine like a line graph and it's just going up and down and side to side. That's kind of what happens when people start moving things about. So
gotcha.
When I was reading the Financial Review, it was like, no one do anything right now. Just wait. Like, don't get stressed out because that's going to make things
crash.
Crash, move.
Crash, bang.
Yeah.
Yep.
Front load, like supply chain issues. There's so much there.
Now,
so.
Look, I am a girl math girly, but I don't really understand economics.
Yes.
And I feel like Ah, Sneaky, maybe a little birdie, maybe it was you, maybe it was our producer, told me that you might have a girly pop way to explain this to me.
Yeah. Well, this is how I, like, actually started caring about economics. My partner has an economics and a law degree and all that, and I just was tuning him out for a good year. And
Then I don't have one of those.
I know, but I'm going to be that for you.
Okay.
He was explaining economics to me, like, astrology.
Love that.
So I'm going to give you a bit of an astrological vibe, but more intense because he doesn't really appreciate astrology. So basically with the economics, it's kind of vibes-based pattern recognition. There's predictions. There's a lot of theories. It's not like very set in stone, but people have assumptions about how it operates.
Okay.
I'm going to say that Trump is, love to my fellow Geminis, Trump is the Gemini of this economy.
Ow.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So he's pretty unpredictable. He's not afraid to just switch it up out of nowhere, like his
rogue
position.
Geminis love a little two-faced moment.
Okay. All right.
Alicia is a Gemini.
he also talks so much, which, I mean, you know, not all Geminis can relate to that. Not me.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, you're not on a talking a news explainer podcast right now. Keep
just
going.
Talking at length. but yeah, he talks a lot and he's really intense about it. And that can be pretty volatile. So while there's a decent base of literature that's suggesting his decisions will lead to this big financial impact over here, he's pretty unpredictable, so it's not guaranteed. Like, no one's really 100% sure of the way that he'll go about it. In contrast, Kamala, she's a little more stabilised and kind of traditional in her approach, like a Taurus vibe.
This is hilarious because I'm a Taurus.
Yeah.
And you're a Gemini.
Yeah.
And this is maybe the best moment of my week.
I know. Isn't it special? I didn't even do that on purpose. I was just like, who's the stable one? Taurus. Like,
yeah,
homely.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I hope any economists out there just learn a bit about astrology. You're welcome, guys.
Why is Kamala... Yeah, go.
No, I'm not going to say it.
Why?
All of the presidents, like FDR and stuff, used to bring in astrologers to make decisions for them.
They did not.
That's true. Yeah.
What? I feel
so
like we should whisper that. Yeah, that feels controversial.
No, that just feels like I should shut up. But,
no, I love that. I love that. Thanks.
Kamala, our little Taurus, she's still planning on bringing in, like, tariffs in a controlled manner, but it's a bit more stable. It's a bit more predictable, and the market's not going to freak out about
grounded. That. We love a routine.
Yeah.
We love a little bit of comfort.
She's going to kind of follow the path that's already there for it.
Sick.
I did Google, like, after I was explaining this, I did Google Trump's
actual star sign. Mm. What is he?
That's a Gemini king.
Oh, Lord.
That's a Gemini king.
Do we know what Kamala is?
I think she's like a Libra.
Oh.
So still, like, quite consistent, but also an air sign. But, you know.
Yeah. Well, her actions are giving earth sign.
Yeah. And
her policy business.
In an economic sense, we're expecting her to kind of, like, be a bit more of a stable route, whereas we're expecting Donald Trump to kind of
blow shit up.
Yeah. You don't know what that
language
guy's
going
to do. Language one. Love that for you.
Okay. Now, these next three that you want to get us across.
Yes. Yeah, these ones are... Hella brief.
Hella brief?
Yeah.
Hella brief me.
Hella brief because I feel like the defence needs its own episode. But here's a TLDR on this one. Our Australian military strategy is help us US.
Okay.
That's it. Really, our military strategy is really dependent on the US supporting us and providing their capabilities and them using us as well. Because we're in a pretty sweet location right now. We send them a lot of money. The most recent AUKUS deal is the biggest military expenditure we've ever had at $368 billion over 30 years. We're funding a lot of that, and they can have a pullout at any point. So if Donald Trump does decide to pull out, which is, you know, contested because unpredictable, that would...
Mega effect.
We'd have spent a lot of money, about $35 million a day. And also...
$35 million a day?
We wouldn't even have the three submarines that's paying for.
Oh, gosh.
So we're really reliant on the US to kind of support us there. And
I don't want to get into defence because that's a whole other kettle of fish that is a big conversation.
TLDR affects us.
Yeah, TLDR affects us.
Yeah.
What's going on with the environment?
This one's actually kind of interesting. The Trump and... Harris both have quite different positions on the environment.
Right.
Australians, our government has been caught lacking many a time. So they're actually waiting and delaying the announcement of their 2035 climate target over here in Australia until February. So they can see who wins, Harris or Biden, if Harris or Trump. If Trump wins, then we can probably do whatever we want with the environmental stuff. We don't really have to go hard on it and like live up to the targets. But Harris will put more pressure because she's cares more about those kind of regulations and international accords. Yeah. Also, because of the defence AUKUS stuff, there would be an expectation either way that Australia would start storing quite high-level nuclear waste. And I think what's important for us to know in WA is that this would happen in WA. We'd be potentially looking at storing waste here, and we would also see all of this kind of going on in WA.
Right.
Final one is democracy. So we're a democracy. Nice. Personally, I appreciate having a democracy. You?
Love it. Love, yeah. Love.
Voting rights.
Yeah, sick.
Education.
Sick.
Not having an autocrat kind of thing. Yeah, great.
Bit of healthcare, sprinkle of it.
Sprinkle it in there. Sprinkle in occasional like accountability for the government, transparency.
Yeah, sick.
There's a lot of cool stuff going on there. It's worth mentioning that if you look at any kind of political kind of discussions around this, their main concern is how long's democracy got? I remember the first person that said this to me was like Kim Beazley, and I was my first year politics student, and I was like, what do you mean, dog? Like, we always have that. The Greeks had that. And he was like, people are kind of concerned. Maybe we will not always have that. Maybe things are starting to change.
Ooh, I got a goosebump then.
Yeah. And when you look at that kind of Project 2025 and the rhetoric that we're seeing come through there, there's a lot of stuff that we're taking for granted. I've written so many essays about this. I think that people aren't sometimes attuned to like kind of the concerns that are here, and we'll talk about that next week when we talk about our freedom of speech and stuff like that, our journalism, our media, all these things that we take for granted sometimes. What I would do instead of chewing your ear off about democracy for ages is two recommendations. Two little resources, if that's
all
right.
We've got resources for you because we don't want you to go away and be like, oh my God, they just gave me so much information and I'm confused.
Probably you're like, wow, I wish I could hear Alicia speak for 15 more years.
Yeah.
Instead, there are others.
Yeah, there are others. There are others. Your favourite podcast of all time.
Yeah, my favourite podcast of all time is Australia and the World. The most recent episode, 139, is Chronic versus Acute Threats to US Democracy. It's hosted by Darren Lim with a rotating cast of experts. And if you go back through the back catalogue, it was formerly co-hosted by the late, great Alan Gingell. He wrote all the books on what international relations is because he didn't feel like anyone else had written them. He's a legend. The whole point of their show is that they look at international relations and what it has to do with Australia from an expert's lens, people that have actually been in the field. This is the podcast that our foreign minister listens to learn stuff, like all of the kind of people involved in this field when they need to know who to listen to and what it's got to do with them, they listen to this podcast. So
great.
Their most recent episode's about that. That's cool if you like that kind of thing. I love trash TV, right? Mm-hmm. Like I like a good TV show.
I don't know why you're whispering that. Have some pride about it.
Oh, it's hard. It's a blessing and a curse because I have to admit it out loud, but also it's rewarding because I love it. So if you're a person that kind of is into narrative and intrigue and conspiracy theories, there's a really amazing podcast on the BBC called The Coming Storm. I binged the first season in a day when I was doing essay ones. It talks about conspiracy theories in the US and how that threatens democracy. And when the conspiracy theorist is like, well, you never looked into how this person did this thing or who made this crazy island, they just go and look into it and they get into like the depths of conspiracy theories and how they motivate political violence in the US. So they started off with the US insurrection and now they're covering the shootings of the attempted assassinations of Donald Trump and QAnon and Reddit. So if you're into that kind of stuff, that's amazing.
That's it for All Over It today. Mm. But thanks so much for tuning in, lending us your ears. If you want to check out all our other episodes, maybe give the podcast a little like or a little follow wherever you're listening to your podcast. You can do that. This episode was produced by Danielle Raphael.
Yay!
A really, really wonderful shout out going over to our producer. She synthesizes our giant brain dumps and makes them make sense. We'll be with you next week and we're talking about what's going on with doxing. That's what we're talking about next week. What is going on with doxing? Thanks very much.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me. Thanks for chatting.
Having me?
Thanks for listening.